Times the world begins again. Two people meet quickly, fall in love, and suddenly they both begin to see surprising beauty and new possibilities in the same old places. Or a child comes in the world, and suddenly that child's parents, instead of being just people, become connected mystery and miracle to the whole flow of life and generations. Tonight we celebrate the idea that tonight's a night the world can begin again. This is a special night. Perhaps it's only a coincidence, but this is not simply the night that Christians prepare for the birth of Jesus to commemorate that birth. But today is the day that Muslims have celebrated the birth of Muhammad, the greatest prophet. And there are many people, from Jews to pagans to astronomers, who celebrate this particular night, this evening, as the rising of the full moon, perhaps a high point of a month, the first ice moon of winter. All these things happening all at once, births, changes in the sky, perhaps the world is about to begin again. You may all know that I became a grandfather this past August. I keep commenting to people how the most basic human accomplishments become wonders, amazing miracles when done by my granddaughter. I just heard myself the other day. I was watching Skype, you know, we're doing a little video conference there, and I was looking at her and I said, "Oh, look, her eyes are tracking objects. How amazing." I know, of course, that vision can be lost. For some, it never develops. But for most, it's something that's just taken for granted. But it's still awesome. It's really a miracle. And sometimes something happens to make us realize, again, that wonder, that gift that so many of us have. Some professor of mathematics at Cambridge, a guy named John Littlewood, he noted in 1986 that if a miracle is defined as something that has a 1 in a million chance of happening, then the average person should experience a miracle on average once per month. When Willow was born, my little granddaughter, our daughter said that she and her husband had chosen the name Willow Eve. They chose it because they liked the sound of the syllables. I was thinking about what it might mean, and I recalled the Bible, and I said, "Really? That's why you chose it? I thought you named her Eve because it's as though the world has begun again in her." And so it is any time that anyone is moved by love. The world is changed. New things happen that could not have possibly happened before. Hearts transformed. The world is different. Now the world, the word the world, is not everything. It's our experience of everything. Theologically, I use the word world to indicate a person's view and experience of the earth and life around each of us. This church sits very physically between worlds. You go half a mile south or half a mile north of here, and you have people who experience the world in radically different ways, grand mansions to the south, and even abandoned and collapsing homes to the north. We specifically chose to keep this building here when so many were going out to the county, so that we would be between worlds and be able to straddle those worlds and remind ourselves that the world can seem very different, but can be experienced differently by different people. Hospitals are very familiar places to me now, places that I work. People that I know who are nurses and doctors often move around them very comfortably, but for most human beings, they're experienced as very scary, odd, uncomfortable places, rare. I heard of a man recently who got a t-shirt. His friends gave him this t-shirt that said, "Technically, everything I don is gay apparel." And in a blog, he was reflecting on the fact that he had this shirt that was advertising that he was a gay man. And he remembered how the first third of his life, everyone told him that a gay person was somewhat anomalous and dangerous and sinful. And then one day he had come into a Unitarian Universalist church. He had met another gay man who was not a stereotype, was not a flaming queen, but was a human being. And he began to realize that being gay had many possibilities. He said, it was as though I had moved to a different planet where all sorts of new things were possible. We can each be transformed. We can each begin again in an instant to make the world anew, to make ourselves anew. We hear something, a teaching, a word, a story, and it reminds us, it moves us. And we need this world to be renewed. Sometimes it's in our own individual lives where we're hungering for renewal. Sometimes it's the world around us. This past year has made us all, if we are people who are reading the news, just very aware at how crazy and wearying this world can be. We know that this world is full of injustice and racism and economic inequality and violence, interpersonal violence, systemic violence. There is so much all around us and in the world. And so the musician wrote the lyrics to the song, Better Days. He wrote it back in 2005, middle of the Iraq War. And he cries out, I'm going to stop this endless fight. His song came right about the time that the hurricane of New Orleans happened, Katrina's flooding, and the global economy tottered near failure. And he said, when he thought about that song, he said, right now I feel as though there's a huge amount of unfairness going on in this country, and it's really starting to annoy me. He admitted, I know I'm not an authority on it, but I just wanted to speak my piece. I especially like that line that when he calls out and he says, what only you can give, what only you can give, that's faith and peace and trust while we're alive. And he doesn't specify exactly who that is he's speaking to that can grant faith and peace and trust. And then he says, the one thing you can give is the one poor child who saved this world. And then, showing his universalist side, he says, and the 10 million more who probably could, who could save the world if we gave them the blessing, the prayer, the support that they need. In Christianity, there's two approaches to thinking about saving the world, saving ourselves. One of those is that cosmological one, entailing the day of judgment and results in a new heaven and a new earth. Long ago, Unitarian and Universalist Christians were those who decided that this cosmological end and renewal of all things was really not the center point of the Christian faith. The joke is that the Universalists thought that God was simply too good to damn everyone, and that the Unitarians thought that they were too good to be damned, and so no one wanted to focus upon hell and damnation or heaven and salvation. They said, because salvation ultimately is a gift of grace, it's something we can't earn, it's something we can't make, the real point then is to see what is redeemable now in this life and act on it. The point is to know that because all will be utterly transformed in the time beyond time, we now need to wake up to that reality and live by it, to live here and now as though this earth is heaven. Once you see that it's not the entire universe that begins again, but your experience of it, and how you treat other people, and the way you move through it, then you may begin to see the world differently, as though it has begun again. Now, often when we dedicate children, I'll say, It is though we time-worn folk renew ourselves at your enchanted spring, as though the world has begun again in you. For Christians, of course, Jesus is a special avenue of this truth, and so this evening when we celebrate is an important night. Although those who have studied and paid attention know that it's very rare for shepherds to be out with their flocks in the middle of December. And so maybe it wasn't exactly December 25th when he was born. And maybe it doesn't really matter. As I mentioned, Muhammad also is said to have been born on this day. But in the Muslim calendar, the Muslim calendar goes about 10, 11 days forward against the solar calendar. And so Muhammad is born in very different times of the year, not always on this particular December 25th. Next year, it'll be 10 days earlier than now. What matters is that some message came through these children as they grew up, through these people, these men came into their lives, into the world, and then into our lives. The Quran exhorts its faithful to say to Christians and to Jews, "We believe in what is revealed to us and what is revealed to you. Our God and your God is one and the same, and we are devoted to that one." It's in the 29th surah. It should also be noted that the teachings of Islam affirm the immortality and eventual return of Jesus. So on this day, when we're all very aware of the tensions and the hatreds and the fears in the world, let us listen to the image of a child that said that everyone, I wish that everyone would be loved tonight, especially those who feel afraid and unloved. To renew the world, I hope you will imagine that one child who saved the world, and that you imagine the 10 million more who probably could. So I invite you to take these words and to sing out loud, because everyone is forgiven. Everyone is forgiven now. Because tonight's the night the world begins again. Tonight's the night the world begins again.